You're listening to the Fit Mom Podcast, and I'm your host, Marisa Tully.
And me, Ash Iovino. Our biggest passion is helping ambitious moms like you channel the same drive you bring to your work and family into your own well-being.
Cool, Ash.
Hi, Marisa.
Hi again. Long time. So today's conversation.
How are you, Marisa? This is only the 15th time I've spoken to you today.
I think that today's topic with fat loss, obviously, it's quite broad and it can be quite a heated one. But I think it's, like we were saying earlier, it's important for us to maybe share more about our journeys when it comes to weight loss. I often wish that I could be more rational and less emotional around it and use words like fat and quite loosely. But yeah, I think
whereas I'm the opposite. I'm like,
you are.
After I had all my babies, I was fat. But like, I had a plan, but I was fine with knowing that I'd gained the normal, you know, amount of weight, and that's what it is. It was fat, and I needed to lose it.
Yeah, no,
it's emotional about it.
Yeah, and it is what it is. But I think I lean towards more of the women who hear the word fat and get offended. And I think it's deep rooted in a lot of dynamics, like family dynamics and work environment, being in a very female dominant work environment and having relationships where fat and weight was like huge. I think it didn't impact me as much as in like my physique growing up. I was very like skinny. I was also like you called mice. I was very small, as in, well, I'm like 162 now. And so weight, when I went through like sort of puberty years, I put on weight like 2-3 kgs, but you could easily see it, but it was nothing drastic. It was just like rounded cheeks. My face had completely changed. And then I think the heaviest I've ever weighed was 8 kgs heavier than what I am now. And it's not counting my pregnancy. In fact, I looked better postpartum than I did during my heavier London days. How crazy is that? And it's purely down to the lifestyle, the habits that I had. Very boozy, social on weekends. Very much emotional eater because live far away from home, no support, 22. Hangovers obviously lead to very bad eating habits. And then also just eating like to be happy, inverted commas, thinking that it's going to, you know, that instant gratification is going to make me feel instantly better. That's my journey.
I was small growing up, like as you said, mouse, but I definitely don't come from a family where, and I'm very careful because I also don't ever like say blame your genes or whatever, but I don't come from a naturally slim family, if that makes sense. Like being like, I could easily be 5 kgs overweight. I almost think I have to work hard to be slim, harder. And that's why also when people do say to me, oh, you're so small, you're so lucky, I do get quite like, it does make me rage a bit internally because I have to work hard to be slim. I'm naturally short. I'm not a naturally slim person is what I'm trying to say. So when I hit puberty, I definitely also, I wouldn't say fat. I think I got chubby, but I think like naturally hormones, and I think as girls your whole body's changing, you do need to have that little bit of extra fat in terms of just getting your cycle and all of that. But my gap year was quite an eye opener for me. Also UK, working in a pub, drinking what is it, Alka Pops, but which ones was it, like brittle fruit vibes, just pure sugar, and eating all of the dessert out of the pub fridge when the pub closed. My friend and I would go and open the freezer and eat the chocolate pudding, and it, yeah, I put on I probably also put on about 8 kgs, but on a small frame, looks like 20. So that's probably the biggest I've ever been, except for post pregnancy. But post, so that freaked me out more than post pregnancy. Post pregnancy, I was very at peace with, like, I've grown a baby, I've got a plan, especially after Sav, when I lost the baby weight really easily with breastfeeding and just getting moving again and back to normality. I wasn't really, like, stressed post-pregnancy, but after my gap year was quite an eye-opener as to, okay, wow, I need to, like, and I need to take control of this. I clearly can't just eat and drink whatever I want and not exercise. So yeah, that's kind of my journey, I think. But then I suppose the default mode to lose that weight then was always, I mean, I was 20, running. You're never gonna, I never stepped really into a gym. So I think I've got much more leeway now in terms of what I can eat, much more flexibility in terms of my lifestyle, and I know how to rein things in. I know when I've taken it too far, how to rein it back in. And because I've got muscle, it allows me a lot more leeway and brings me back to kind of my happy place quite quickly. I never, like, I haven't really stressed, I haven't tracked food or stressed about food, or besides being mindful of like my protein and my fiber, I don't, I kind of, I don't know. I'm at a very happy place with my relationship with food and where my body's at.
Until I feel exactly the same. Until the next big eye-opener or shift, like perimenopause or something really different in one's body happens, and you have to really navigate things, and weight loss isn't working like it used to. I think that's the other thing, is
Or it's harder.
we both have had the Fit Mom transformation and formula that I felt exactly the same postpartum. Such peace of mind knowing how to get back there, and that it wasn't a extreme punishment, juice cleanses, cut out my favorite foods. So because we've experienced that, and we know, like, it's quite a long process to get through to the other end of building the muscle and seeing those results, but because we've done it before, we know how to get there during this life phase that we are in. And that brings me to, like, one of my clients that it's frustrating sometimes to work with ladies who are in a space of believing that a diet or a strength training program has to be partnered with a lot of punishment. And I find some ladies almost are attracted to that side of things. So if things aren't feeling like it's very restrictive and extreme, they're wanting to give up.
Completely.
Hey, do you find the same?
No, they're almost like, if it's slightly enjoyable, they start questioning you. Like, no, but, or if it's, and I suppose it's back to default of, like, but in the past, if I cut out this extreme exercise for whatever, I would really be 2 kgs down. Do you know what I mean? So it's that addiction of that cycle that you, that's almost our goal of why this program is 6 months, because we're trying to break that.
Oh, totally. One of the ladies that I work with, I mentioned to you, it's been so incredibly, like, fulfilling working with her, because she's in a very stressful job environment, as are most of the CEO Fit Moms, and she's never really been very into fitness and not into strength training. And now when she travels, like last week she was in Singapore, the other day she was in Chicago, she's based in London, and she's seeking out the hotel gym, changing, like, habits as she's, like, completely having sugar-free electrolytes, upping her protein, very aware of, like, the food. And she's not extreme, and she's often feeling like, she's gone back a couple of steps because of being sick or things that are happening. But because she said she now knows what it feels like to be that more optimal version of herself and how it filters through into work and being a mother, she just keeps on wanting to go back there. And that's another area that I actually wanted to chat to you about, is so many of the ladies are very down when things aren't going well, when they don't have a so-called perfect week. And that's constantly happening. And my big reminder to them is, but that's the beautiful part, is that part where, oh, I was sick last week, my kids haven't been sleeping, I've been eating horrendously. Cool. How do you reset? How do you get back into that, like, fit mom routine? And how do you, in those sort of environments or stages, how do you reframe that as like a you've got control, you in the power seat, now I know what to do to get myself back?
I think like such a key part of that is it's very all very well when you start like an exercise or weight loss journey to plan for the perfect days and to plan for when you are motivated, and you generally in the beginning you are motivated. Think of January. You've drunk the whole of December, you get to like the 9th of January, that first Monday back at work, and you're extremely exercising, you're cutting out all alcohol, you're cutting out all sugar. It's very easy to be motivated. But the key to success is to plan for the shit days, for the days that you don't want to get out of bed. And then if you plan for those days and you have these are my non-negotiables on my shit days: to hit 8,000 steps, to drink 2 liters of water, and to hit my protein goal. If you can just move that average for your shit days and increase it, that is your key to success. Because it's almost like, as you say, life is going to happen. You are going to go away. You are going to be highly stressed at work. You are going to travel. Your kids are going to get sick. You're going to get sick. But if you can stick to the bare minimum on those days and increase your average, you will be successful.
100%. That's such a valuable reminder. Something that I also realized since becoming a mom that's become almost worse for me, or more like I fixate on more, is that I've got this need to control even more and to have more. And I now, as a mom, can see how things in a situation can escalate very quickly from like a good situation, for instance, with my son, to absolute meltdown, and me after a while, like I had a session, like a moment like this morning. This is why I'm thinking of it, but where I'm not coping with the constant crying and the energy drain, and the so things can go from like perfect to oh my gosh, this is like the most wonderful child, to being he's being an absolute like brat and taking everything from me. And because of that need and that prediction almost that I'm like anything can change at any time, I'm also constantly looking for an instant gratification or an instant fix. Like an example, I don't know how to articulate it because I'm not really, I haven't had a good night's sleep. So I don't know if this is going to make sense, but I'm getting into the car. What can I control with my son? Because I know there can be a potential meltdown and I can only take about 5 minutes of the back screen, like back seat screaming. So let me make sure I've got the snacks. I make sure that, like, I've got the right music. What can I control? And it's exhausting living that way, but I'm constantly looking for like that's going to help have an instant fix. And I often see that relate to my clients wanting, shit's gone wrong this week. I've had a boozy couple of work events. Instantly, what's going to make me feel better is like a greasy meal or the chocolate and not doing my workout and sleeping in tomorrow morning. Like that instant gratification, like
In the
constantly
moment.
looking, yes, to fix the right now because things can escalate or go any other way.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's human nature. And I think if you can break that cycle again, that's when you'll be successful, is if you can look more longer term. But also, it goes both ways. Like, either like in the moment you order the takeaways and you wolf down a slab of chocolate and a bottle of wine and you don't do your workout. Or you've had a shit week, so you want to control it. So you go into the extreme mentality of, okay, cool. Then from tomorrow, I'm cutting out everything. Also, I've had a client say to me, like, the weight loss is not quick enough, even though she is dropping at least 500 grams a week. Can I please now just cut out carbs? They don't work for me. And it's based on like default mode of what you've done in the past as well, but habit of like, no, it is going to be slow, it is going to be longer, but you don't need to do that. I think, yeah, we all want the results quickly. But if you are doing it, if you really want it to be a long-term thing, you need to do it slowly and sustainably and try and break that cycle of the quick fix mentality. But going back to your client who you've like changed her entire value system of how she wants to live her life, you've elevated what her how she was. So it's almost like that saying of like, do you want to be average? Because if you want to be average, hang around with average people and do average things. But you've elevated her and shown her a new way of being. So now that's her new kind of, she's way above average, but yeah, you've totally and like and even though she was like a rock star before that, You've now shown her a whole new world, which is just absolutely the power of coaching. It's incredible.
Yeah, that is exciting. It's great hearing you say it. And it also reminds me again what an impact your environment has. And I think we are lucky. You and I are very lucky, like being in for sort of having the marriage that we have, the support that we have, like that all impacts, of course, your health. And I've been in situations before where that was not the case. And I remember periods of my life as well where I had that Sunday mentality of let me overindulge, watch a movie tonight, have chuckles, but also ice cream, but also this, because there was this satisfaction of knowing, but tomorrow we'll be like strict.
In
Tomorrow
control
we'll be
again.
totally, totally. And I think I hit too many dark days that I'm now at a space of like really not wanting to go back. And I also really don't like that old version of me that used to demonize food or feel guilty around food. That doesn't mean I still don't get my like guilt around food, especially when I'm overindulging, but it's nowhere near what it was. There was a lot that had to go on, and not therapy because of, my eating habits, therapy because of other things in my life and how to, cope, which then filtered through to my eating habits. And also being okay with the fact that I acknowledge and celebrate that I do emotionally eat. Like, and I'm not saying
Absolutely.
that in a bad way. Like, I know
But
tonight.
I would find it hard to find a woman who doesn't emotionally eat. And I'm not saying men don't. There are many men that emotionally eat, but I don't know why it just makes me feel like there are more women.
Totally, yeah.
And also, I feel like because we're the caregivers and the nurturers and to our children, just watch your friends with their little ones, how food is always a form of nurturing. Your child falls, hurts themselves, scrapes their knee. Oh, darling, mommy's got a rice cake for you. Why do you need food? Or are you going to have an injection now? He has a lollipop for you for your 9-month-old. Does your nine like? It's a form of nurture and a form of love, you think, but actually you're giving your child pure sugar to suck on. And I'm just so from little, we're wired that food comforts you. And that's why it's such an emotional connection.
Totally. It's a reward. Food is seen as a reward from a very, very young age. No, completely. But yeah, no, what I was gonna say is that like each evening my mindset's also changed to, now and then I go through phases where I'm telling Rocco, oh, we should have less carbs at night, like postpartum when I was still not fitting into a pair of pants and they were a little bit too tight. Like maybe I should just have less carbs at like no carbs at night or no dessert at night or going to that. And now I'm very much in a phase where I'm like, no, if I need to, rein it in, lose weight. I know there are other sort of areas within our Fit Mom score and formula that we do that I can shift a little bit of weight, but I'm still gonna celebrate each evening, getting through the day, getting through my workload, being a mother, full-time like working entrepreneur, and evening dinners. Like we've spoken about this before. Rocco leaves the house and I'm already talking about what's for dinner, what we're having for dessert. Like that's a ritual.
Literally, it's all, and that's again. So yes, food is a form of nurturing and emotional connection, but it's a form of celebration as well. And if you can get to the point where you just, I mean, I watch my husband's face with with any meal, or like a new restaurant opens and they're doing Neapolitan pizzas, and we go, and he starts like salivating from when the menu's given to him. Like it's such a form of joy. And my children are growing up with that, and I absolutely love it. I love watching Sav putting like on Friday, Saturday night, we had an Italian evening here, and he made this plate of Parma ham, melon, and olives and bruschetta. And I watched him layering it all with the mozzarella. It was such an art for him. So I think if you can get to a place where it is a form of joy and not a form of guilt, punishment, reward, it's very freeing. But it takes a lot of work to get there because of how we are raised, I suppose.
Totally. And we wanted to touch on one of your clients, which I found so fascinating when you shared the story of like very some very sounds very familiar in constantly making excuses, but those excuses were the reason why, workouts weren't getting done or meals were far from, high protein, high fiber, and how you changed. I think it was a few weeks that you were months even working with her, and how you changed the whole way you approach it as a coach, and what shifts you helped her with, which has now resulted in her losing so much weight.
So much weight, 10 kgs from day one. Well, the excuses initially were the reason why she actually signed up was to help herself in those areas of her life, but then they would also become the excuses. So every mandate was like, well, I couldn't do that because of that situation, and that situation. But those situations which were holding her back were the reason she signed up, because she really wanted to make progress in those areas of her life. So it almost was like a self-sabotage cycle of every Monday, I didn't do that because of that. I didn't do that because of that. And I didn't do that because of that. And we just flipped it, or I managed to say to her, or to get the penny to drop, but you're saying you didn't do that. So you're not like holding yourself to the standard that you want to be held to. And therefore that relationship then is suffering, which is the very reason why you've signed up. So you're just caught in this loop. And as soon as the penny dropped with that, and she stopped using those things as excuses and started using them as fuel for, actually, if I get my steps in, like I said, I would, and my workout, then I'm going to be a better partner and a better employee and a better everything. And all those other areas are going to improve. So instead of blaming them, take ownership. I mean, here we are, 10 kgs down. And every week, and I'm not saying we haven't had weeks again where, there are blips, but we've broken that cycle of blame, and she stepped into the ownership part. And I think, like, as we say, as coaches, we can give you the best plan in the world. We can give you a million recipes, macro-friendly recipes. We can guide you, support you, phone you 20 times a day. If you aren't prepared to show up and do the work, what can, our hands are tied.
Also, though, that's incredible results, but also the belief of that you're worth it. I mean, can I tell you something really strange that I had when I was in my 20s? After the period of weighing quite a lot, my recorded London days, and I started to lose
We should,
weight.
sorry, just we should get our London, my gap year and your London photos, and we should put a post together, a
Definitely.
comparison next to each other.
I don't
I
have
looked
good
like a top man.
photos then. Our phones were shit. That's the problem.
I know.
What was I gonna say now? Oh,
Oh,
during
sorry,
that
I interrupted
period,
you.
I started to lose weight, and I remember feeling, because I was also younger, and my default was also running, and I could easily drop 3 kgs in summer season just spending time in the mountain. And I remember almost wanting to sabotage it because I was like, now what? I've lost the weight and I'm getting to a leaner body. And I'm like, it was that whole psychological thing around, you believe when you're going to be a certain weight, you're going to be happy, and a void's going to be like completely, healed. And then suddenly you lose the weight and you realize, no, but that wasn't that, that's it's not making me feel
That's
better.
not the thing.
I've suddenly got all this money. It's not making me happy. It's not cured my relationships that I'm in. So that's the other areas. Like, yes, you have to do the work, but of course, from a psychological point of view, do you really believe that you are worthy of, being in a strong, fit body, being a healthy mom? Or do you just want to default to that's almost like victim mentality? And I don't mean it in a harsh way because I've been there, but yeah, it's that
It's easier to
self-worth.
remain the victim.
Totally.
That's why it's easier to remain the victim. It's much harder to step out. And often I do find a lot of the ladies that we coach do come to us not believing. So they want the 10 kg drop, but because they've failed so many times in the past with bad detoxes and just gained, caught in that cycle, they don't honestly believe it. And until you get them to a point of really believing in themselves that they, as you say, are worthy, they can do it. That's often when the success happens, is when they start actually believing that they can.
Yeah, 100%. I've had a client recently sign up, And she actually said that because in the first 2 weeks she's lost weight, she's sticking to the strength training routine, she's eating really well and balanced, nothing too extreme, but a lot of high protein, high fiber meals. And she just said to me, my concern is that I've seen results before, I've lost the weight before, but it always comes back. So I'm just scared. And that hit me. That made me really sad because I'm here to support her. She's on a 6 month program, and I'm hoping that from self-worth and self-love, as woo-hoo as that sounds, she gets to that point of really believing, okay, this is the new version
And
of
she can.
me, and she's on her own. But you don't know how it is going to turn out with your clients.
No, and another thing also, just from a like mental point of view, is often they start this journey, I want to lose X amount of weight, but then once they get into it, like the client you were saying, who's just completely elevated her entire value system, it becomes so much more about, so much less about the weight loss and so much more about the life that you gain. And I think that's the beauty of it, is like that is actually the magic. Yes, it's nice that you feel better in your clothes and people are commenting and whatever, but the magic is in being so much stronger in your body. Like, in it, you're an entirely different, it becomes so much more about the long-term journey. So we're with you for 6 months, but actually she'll never go back to what she was before. This will be for life. And that's really incredible.
Totally. I know we've spoken about it before, but I still believe if I really cared about the way I looked, I would never get to this point where I am. Yes, of course, I want to, like be presentable, but I think it also ties back to the fact that why you and I are not really interested in fillers and breast enhancements, and I don't know, maybe at a later stage of my life I will be. But I think from an aesthetic point of view, my drive has always been how I feel versus how
I
I
feel.
look. Always. Like I've had that aesthetic goal, like when I was drinking Recorderlich and what's it, fried fish and chips in
Yeah.
London. And I was like, oh, it would be nice. Like I am in absolute awe of like a Victoria's Secret model and these women that are completely different builds to me. I growing up, like I used to idolize that, of course, but it wasn't a big enough driver for me to ever like starve myself or go on extreme diets. Like I've never actually
Always the
pre,
feeling.
yeah, always the feeling. And that's why I think I've
But
never done
again, that
diets.
links, but that links to our alcohol thing, chat recently. Again, it's the feeling of how you feel the next day that will prompt you to not drink. Do you know what I mean? It's always that
Quickly.
to go for a run. For me, it's the feeling after, of just like high on life and endorphins and motivated. It's the feeling, it's all, it's a, it completely, for me, it overrides. And then the byproduct is that you fit into your jeans, but it's not the driver.
Totally. No, 100%. And I think, like you say, you just have to have experienced enough, coming out on the other side of how you're
Yes.
feeling. You have to have experienced that enough to go, okay, this is where the goal's at. Not that night before.
Completely. And you have to go through it. So you can't just jump to, like, now, like we've done the yards. Do you know what I mean? The hard yards to get to this side. But as you say, you can't explain it unless you've gone through it. But once you've gone through it, you'll never look back.
Totally. Sometimes I'm gonna like completely go off course here, and I know we only have like 3 minutes, but that's why some you have to pick your coaches according to where you're at. And we've spoken about it before, because there's a lot of like ladies who are genetically blessed and look like models, and they, for instance, trainers, and you believe. It's hard to then, for me, I can't relate to someone like that because they've never been in my shoes, or they've never been a bit overweight or uncomfortable, and they've never had those lows, and been like on the verge of like really depressed, and come out from that. So I would not choose that sort of person to work with, if that makes sense.
100%, completely, completely. I think you need to be inspired by your coach. I had a coach who was actually amazing at the beginning of my journey. And from a knowledge point of view, I couldn't fault him. But from an EQ point of view, he didn't get me. So after a while, but I took what I needed, and I feel like, and I've done the same with it. I've had an amazing personal trainer recently, learned to a point what I wanted to, and then when I felt like I kind of had outgrown him, then you move on. But that's the beauty of mentors, coaches, therapists in your life.
Yeah, different stages.
You learn
Completely.
exactly.
Completely. Okay. Well, we'll chat in a bit. Thanks.
I'm just gonna go and make my tea and rusk because
Project number
it's
six.
cold and dark. It's cold and dark, and I don't emotionally eat at all.
Yeah. And don't forget, that's my Christmas present this year. Hey, rusks. Freshly baked and brought in from London.
Amazing. I'll bake them when I get to Joburg, even
Okay,
fresher.
deal. Yeah, that's a good deal. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Mom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to us if you could subscribe, rate, and share this episode with a fellow ambitious Fit Mom. Chat soon.